Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Moms on Fire with MillionaireMomsNetwork.com. Today, I have the pleasure of having Stacy Cannonberg on the line. She is a nationally renowned education expert. She's written books called in the Get Ready to Learn series. She's known as the Get Ready to Learn Mom and has been on many national shows talking about various things about being a mom and children. Stacy, welcome to the call.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, well, you are just such an interesting person. I just had to share you with everybody. So I just briefly touched on just a piece of what you do, so I thought I'd let you take it from here and let the listeners know all about what you do.
Oh, well, thank you. Gosh, you know, it's been an incredible journey. I started as in corporate America, working for several brands in the insurance industry, and then I became a stay-at-home mom when I got pregnant with my first child. And then it was I've always kind of been this serial entrepreneur within a corporation, so there was really no surprise that when I started becoming a mother, I was starting to think about ideas of things I could do at home as my children grew up. And ironically, it was a series of Oprah shows that kind of put me in the direction that I'm on that I'm on now. Literally, Oprah had a show, talking about finding your passion. And I kept looking at the TV set going, Oprah, I don't know what my passion is. And she had a walking buddy show, and I started walking with a neighbor, and all the walking led to talking. And she was telling me what her daughter was learning in kindergarten, and I was absolutely shocked and started to research to find books to help my own kids get ready for kindergarten. Couldn't find what I was looking for, and decided to create the Let's Get Ready to Learn series with Let's Get Ready for Kindergarten and Let's Get Ready for First Grade. And we'll be continuing the series with Cedar Valley Publishing. And then from there, I started another publishing company where I help other people publish, and then got involved with Mom Central Consulting and Mom Central and Mother's Talk to kind of really help brands and small businesses do viral grassroots marketing. So it's been an amazing experience, and it's just I'm following my passion and having so much fun.
Well, I can let everyone know that I have a copy of your book for my son starting kindergarten on Monday. He's so excited, and we've been reading that book every day. It's really, really good, and I just love it. I mean, it feels good, and it's got great information in it. It's just a wonderful book.
Well, thank you. It's fun because I'm a big reader, and my kids, you know, when they were three and run is when I started writing the Let's Get Ready for Kindergarten book, and I wanted to do something that little kids could feel empowered with, and you put the book in a child's hand, and the first thing, I don't know if your son did it, but the first thing many kids do is they take it right out of your hand, and they start telling you what they know. You know, here's the colors, isn't it? And, they feel so empowered by it, and I kind of got the concept that, you know what, we're doing something wrong with education, because we're making teachers be in charge of education, and we're kind of looping out the parents and the kids. So my philosophy is kind of like the seatbelt law. If kids have access to books such as mine, and they are written in a way that empowers the kids to kind of want to show everybody what they know, in a way that shows everybody what they don't know, it's an easy way to kind of get them excited about education. And what ends up happening is these kids turn around at 2, 3, 4 and teach their little siblings, these are the colors, these are the shapes, and they're actively involved in education. And it's kind of like the seatbelt law. If you teach a child to wear their seatbelt, or if you teach a child this is what they need to know for kindergarten, they're going to tell everybody, and they're going to want to feel more empowered. And by the time they get to kindergarten and the teacher's talking about, you know, skip counting, they're like, oh, I know how to do that, 10, 20, 30, 40, you know, they're all excited, and they feel very empowered in the process.
That's great. That's wonderful. And it's true. He was like, I know that, Mom, when you're doing it. So now I'm going to shift gears a little bit to the mom side of things, where I've spoken to several different moms that were interested in actually writing a book. Can you give any tips on moms that are interested in writing children's books? You know, what process you went through in your mind, and, you know, how you went about doing that? Because I think that's very interesting.
Well, you know what, it's easier than what people think, and I tell everybody that there's a book inside every single one of us. And if you are paying attention, you'll see that just about anybody's writing books nowadays. You can self-publish, you can work with a traditional publisher, but just to sit down and start writing. Many of the blogs that women are writing now, or many of the journals that they're keeping, if you put those all together, you might already have a book that's already done, you just don't know it. Think of things as far as chapters. If you're talking about, your life, the story of what's going on in your family and the takeaways that other people might find from that. So most importantly, just sit down and look at what you already have. So if you're already journaling, if you're already blogging, just take a look, step back and go, gosh, is this a chapter? Oh my, maybe it is a chapter about, tips from coming home from the hospital, or here's what I've learned about, potty training, or here's what I learned about, different things. Those blog posts can be recycled into really chapters. And another thing, there's so many people that say, gosh, I want to write a children's book geared for children, or I want to write a story. Well, you know what? Sit down and just start writing those words and see what happens. Because every story, in order to make it become really, really good, needs to be rewritten 1,000 times. I tease this to authors that call me all the time. I wrote this book, and I'm like, well, who is it geared toward? Children. Well, what did kids say about it? Well, you know what? I never had a kid read it. Well, if you're writing a children's book, sit down with your kids, and if you've got kids, I tell you, mine were 3 and 1, and they were the best critics for my book. I mean, my one-year-old couldn't barely talk, but I could tell when she was paying attention. So I'd say something to her, and if she kind of didn't look like she got it, I knew I had to rewrite it. So it's a way in which you can engage kids in what you're doing, and definitely, start writing, and when you feel like you've gotten someplace, then build your network. Join an author's group. Get other people, other moms in your play group to say, look, this is what I'm doing. Can somebody take a look at this and see what they think? And, send it to me. I'll be happy to take a peek at it. Just build your network and then get the books. There's tons of books out there. Dan Pointer has a wonderful book called The Self-Publishing Manual that really breaks down the difference between going with a traditional publisher or self-publishing, which is what I did. There's so many great resources out there. You just Google the word, publishing or writing a book, and you'll find hundreds of resources out there to help you.
I think you brought up a good point. I think that many people, and, I'm guilty of the same, you think you know what people want, but you really need to do some market research. You need to get down whoever your target audience is and start polling them as to what it is that they really are interested in. Because I remember for Millionaire Moms, I sent a survey out, and I was shocked that, the number one concern was time management. More than making money, I was like, huh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. And if I hadn't been questioning moms, I wouldn't have known that. So now I incorporated that into my business model, get as much of that as I can. The other thing is, as far as writing, I have found that it's best to just let it out. Don't try to make it perfect the first time. Just roll with your thoughts and just put all of it on paper, and then you can go back and refine and refine and refine. Because if you try to edit your every thought, it just won't flow.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You just have to just start writing, and you're absolutely right. Let it go, because some of those little thoughts that you want to edit are sometimes the one pearl of wisdom that is on the whole page.
That's it.
And
you're right.
You just really need to get it out, and you nailed it. The first step is to really just start putting your ideas on paper, but most importantly, you need to find a niche, because there are so many books out there. And find a different audience for that same niche. For me, I knew that what I was creating, there wasn't anything like it on the market, which is really hard to believe, that there's not like a standard kindergarten textbook that has the curriculum. There's a lot of books on getting ready for leaving mom, Bear Goes to School, but it doesn't actually hit on the curriculum. There's a lot of workbooks. There's a lot of study guides, but when you do them, you do the problem, and then you never really go back to them because you finish it. So I was thinking a book that you just read over and over and over and over, just like Goodnight Moon, that you read over and over and over, that would just have the curriculum for kindergarten so that they were exposed to it. They didn't have to master it. It's just that when they get to school and the teacher's talking about telling time, they might remember, oh, I remember remember, this is, you know, 9 o'clock, this is 10 o'clock, because they remember how it works, and that was kind of the thought process with my book. So you're absolutely right, find your niche, and my niche happened to be schools, my niche happened to be teachers, my niche happened to be parents that were homeschooling, or anyone that was really, when they were little, when they were two or three, that wanted to put a durable book in their hand that they felt that they could go through without worrying about the child ripping the pages because they're so little still.
Right. Well, at least my son doesn't chew books anymore.
Well, you know, I used to get really frustrated as a mom. Everybody would give me these beautiful books, and then I'd sit down to try to read them to my 3 and 1-year-old, and they would, like, you know, play position and try to, and then, of course, we'd rip a page, and then I'd, you know, so then I stopped wanting to give them books because they were so little, and those beautiful pop-up books, oh, my gosh, they could destroy them so quickly.
Oh, yeah, that was just a disaster waiting to happen.
Exactly. And so it's like, wait a second, all you people are telling me to give my kids books, but every time I give them a book, they destroy them. So I wanted to create something that was really durable that you could give to a 6-month-old, and if she chewed on the corner, oh, well.
It's funny. So now I'm going to shift over into your role and your work as principal and consultant for Mom Central Consulting. And maybe you can talk a little bit more about that, and as well as share with the listeners some viral and grassroots marketing that they can do for their own business.
You know, one of the things we did at Mom Central Consulting, Stacey DeBroff started the company Mom Central, and we all, she got a bunch of us together, some moms that had started their own business, and really, it's amazing what you can do with a phone and a computer. If you're out there and you've just started a business, let me tell you, word of mouth works. It's the age-old secret that has been handed down from years and years and years, and surprisingly, many brands, many large companies are just talking about word of mouth when it's been a around since the beginning of time. And you got to really ask yourself, how are people hearing about products? And time again, you know, I'm a busy mom. I don't have time to see the Today Show every day. I don't have time to read the newspaper front to cover every day. I seem to tune out advertising, and really, I really sat down and analyzed how I make my buying decisions. It's through my friends and family. It's through my social network. You know, I could be going, you know, dropping the kids off at school and talking to another mom, and she's telling me about this great book she saw, or I'm talking to another mom who's got this really neat piece of jewelry, and it turns out it's a teething ring. I'm like, oh, my God, that's brilliant. You know, it's how we're finding out this information and how we pass it along to others. And so really, viral grassroots marketing is really the hot trend right now. And if you're a small business, you know, just think about how you can build that market and make it work for you. And the simplest thing that you can do is make sure that you're telling everybody in your market about your product, and you're making it in such a conversational way, one little tidbit that they can pass on and tell 20 other people. And it's really important to do that in a way in which you've got some great wisdom. What sets your product apart? What is that one burning thing that everybody needs to know about what you're doing? And gosh, I told everybody. When I was writing my books, I told people at the gas station, in the grocery line. I was telling everybody. And I had figured out the name of the company. And so I was like, go to the, you know, and people want to get behind you. They really do. They love this story. And really, if you're a mom business, you really need to showcase and highlight the fact that you are this mom business. Because moms will help other moms. That's what we are. We're nurturers. So find those ways to really spread the word. Start a blog. Start posting on other blogs. Get your name out there and watch your name. You know, Google your name and see how it works in the Google ratings. If you've got a Google footprint, and start, you know, creating a way in which you are showcasing what you're doing, and start telling everybody.
Good point. Don't be shy. You got to get the word out. If you don't get the word out, then nobody's going to find you.
Absolutely. And again, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. I know many very successful companies that started with a computer and a phone. You know, you look at what Google's done. Hello. you know, these are little companies that started with a great idea and just some really great marketing know-how. And, you know, look at the women that you've showcased. Look at what you've been able to do. It can be done. And just basically find those women that you admire and respect and have always wanted to emulate, and talk to them. Bring them into your network. Find out what they did. Ask those questions. Surround yourself with the right people, because really, once you develop that network, whenever you have a question, you can go back and say, gosh, not really sure how to do that. Or, hey, I'm looking for a lead on, you know, the producer for a Rachel Ray show. You know, throw it out to your audience of people that are already in your network, and I'm sure somebody's going to shoot back and say, here it is.
That's right. That's it. And, you know, don't forget to help the other moms, too. You know, networking is a two-way street. And, you know, if you can be of assistance to somebody else, then by all means do it, because it's just a big circle.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I want to say this so much, and so thank you for making me remember this. There's so many entrepreneurs, so many small companies out there that have one product. Many times I think they need to build friends with other people that have similar products, because it's easier to find you if you're elsewhere. And you make the mistake of just saying, oh, I only want to sell it on my website, you know, because I want all the sales. Well, you know what? If no one knows the name of your website, or no one even knows your product exists, they might not find you. So take out Google alerts on keywords. My keyword is kindergarten, so I have Google alerts on kindergarten, and every day Google Free sends me a list of reporters that have written on the subject of kindergarten that day, or blogs that have posted about kindergarten, and I can go through those, and it's almost like I can, you know, comment on their blog, oh, that first day of kindergarten, you guys started already, I got three more weeks, you know, my kids are going to fourth and second, you know, and good luck, happy, you know, happy first day of kindergarten, and or here's seven things they're going to test you on, you might be interested in knowing, and, you know, just fun stuff, or, hey, you know, it looks like you're really struggling, I'd love to send you my books, you know, and people appreciate that. They love to hear from other stories, and many times people are like, oh, I can't believe you emailed me. It's like, well, I do read things, and you're doing the same thing, so let's team up together and figure out how we can break into this market even more.
You're so funny, because you're right. The email just takes down all the barriers, and it's like you could just make all these new friends via email, and I'll give you an example of that. Today I'm having lunch with a lady that I interviewed for this series, and I had introduced her to an SEO expert, search engine optimization, for those not familiar with the term, and that I had met through another friend, but we've only emailed each other, and he's got an appointment with her at 10, and I'm meeting her at 11, so, you know, we'll cross paths as you know, we go, and he's like, oh, that's right, we haven't actually ever met before, but, you know, we feel like old friends, and so I thought that was kind of funny. I'm like, yeah, email has a way of doing that, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and that's the power. I mean, if you're sitting out there and you're like, gosh, I've got this jewelry business, I want it to expand, or gosh, I've got this soap company, I don't know what to do, find other soap companies. They might not be making the same sort of soap that you are, or find, you know, boutique.
Find a towel company.
Find a towel company. Perfect.
That's a match made in heaven right there.
The burpee, you know, blankets, all the stuff that, you know, the gifting, the baby gifting basket places, all those places, think outside the box and think how your product can work together. And I'm a proponent of, I make best friends with all the people that write in the kindergarten space, because you know what? I can't tell you how many times I buy multiple items in the same line. So, for example, when I'm out looking for, I love romance books, but I, you know, I don't look just at one author. I buy multiple romance books. Do you know what
right,
I mean? I
love when you're in that, when you're in that place, generally you want, you know, as much information from a variety of sources. So that's a good point you brought up. I remember reading that Into Thin Air, which was a book about Mount Everest. There was a book and a guy and their experiences of, you know, people dying on the mountain and that kind of thing. There was another man who had written a book prior to that about the same type thing, you know, different people dying on the mountain. To me, it seems like you ought to stay off that mountain. But, you know, his book kind of floundered. And then Into Thin Air got some publicity and kind of got well known. And then all of a sudden, this guy's sales started taking off. And the reality was, his was even better written, and his sales started to outpace the the first book, I mean, well, the second book that had gained notoriety, and the two books were selling. So that's a good point, that even though you might have a competitor, you know, that doesn't mean they're your arch enemy. You know, you could support each other.
Absolutely, because, for example, when I first was writing the book, I had bought Hirsch's book, What Your Kindergartner Needs to Know, and I mean, I loved the book. It was a great book. I learned a lot, but you know what? I wanted something that my kids could read, and Hirsch's book is not a book that you can sit down with your kids and go through step by step. They'll lose interest in, like, a heartbeat. It's really something that an adult or a teacher needs to read to kind of get the concepts, and then you can use them in a different way with the kids. So I had always looked at his book as going, gosh, you know, his book is just, you know, it's an institution. And so, you know, if you look on Amazon, many times our books are tagged together as kind of a companion book. This is for the parents, and this is for the parents and the kids. So it's a way of which, you know, when I created my brand, Cedar Valley Publishing, and Let's Get Ready for Kindergarten, Let's Get Ready for First Grade, I was thinking of, I want to be the goodnight moon of kindergarten. So all the work I'm doing today, you know, I'm a firm believer in blog tours. And if you don't know what a blog tour is, it's basically, there's companies out there, we have them at Mom Central Consulting, we have them at Mother Talk, that actually do blog tours and get bloggers to talk about your product. And those blog tours, you do a 40 blog tour, those 40 blog posts are pages and pages that live in your Google footprint. I mean, it's a simple way to do it. If you don't have the money, you can do it yourself. You can Google top blogs in your subject matter, and you can email them directly. I'll tell you, it does take time, energy, effort, but you know what? You can do it. It can be done. And, there's ways that you can do things on a budget, and word of mouth is really the most important thing because it doesn't have to cost you anything.
And if people are like, I'm shy about talking to my neighbors about what I'm doing, you know, then do it on the Internet and do it to people that are already interested in what you're doing, like what you're doing with the kindergarten blogging.
Yes.
And getting those Google alerts. I do the same thing. I get the Google alerts for my stuff, too. Yes. And another point is you put a Google alert on yourself so that if people are talking about you on the Internet, you can see what they're saying. So,
absolutely.
You know,
and
all good stuff, I'm sure, but it's good to know.
Well,
you know.
It's fun because somebody just had a contest, and I went in, and she was really smart. This blogger was brilliant. Of course, you know, she wanted people, because we all know if you're into blogging, it's about the number of people that actually post on your site, which to me doesn't make a lot of sense because I read columns all the time, but I don't always write into the letter to the editor. So even though people aren't posting on your site, I'm still a proponent that people are reading those blogs. Absolutely. So anyway, but the key in with blogging is they say they want you to post on the site because it does something to your metrics to get you more exposure online. But anyway, so she had like 75 posts already. People had to post in order to win my books. And I was going through and I was absolutely shocked because of these 75 moms, there were only like 5 of them that had never heard of the books before. And I really took a step back, and that really shocked me. I guess I wasn't expecting so many, oh, I've always seen these books. Gosh, I really wanted these. Oh, I remember reading about these. Oh, you know, I was shocked. It's like, oh, my gosh, I'm doing something right. You know,
yeah.
And it's in a way in which I didn't have to spend any money to find that out. It's just a way of looking at the data that had always been before me, but I never really thought of it that way. And it was fun to post on there. Gosh, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much for all your support. You know, that goes a long way because they know I really do care. And let me tell you, just, I get just as excited about one sale as I do when a school calls and orders 500 books. So to me, it's just going by gangbusters, and it's all because of this wonderful network of people that keep telling everybody else about my story. And so if you're shy and don't feel like you can do it, find somebody, a college intern, your husband, your kids, your 15-year-old kid might be more savvy on the computer. Get them involved and make it a true family company.
Well, you know, it's funny that you said if you're shy about talking about yourself. A couple of years ago, I was sitting in a studio audience watching a corporate DVD being shot. And the woman, it was kind of like an Oprah show for training people in a company, training women, right? So in an interesting format. So I'm just sitting there, and the lady doing this, the coaching, the whole segment was around how to toot your own horn without blowing it. That's the name of her book. And I thought, oh, that's a cute little name for a book. Well, long story short, I was the one that they plucked out of the audience just randomly. And I, you know, she's coming towards me, and I'm like looking over my shoulder going, oh, I wonder who she's going to pick. And I realized I was the last row, and she was looking at me, and I was like horrified. So, you know, she pulls me out of there, and she gives me like 5 minutes of training behind the scenes, and then I have to go out there in front of everyone and tell about myself. And basically the nugget of what she told me was to take your story and turn it into a, take your information and turn it into a story that people could relate to. And, you know, that I thought that was a really good piece of advice, because I've done so many different things in my life that it's kind of hard. It's like, yeah, okay, I did this, I did that. But when I started looking at it, the difference was, like, my growing up, my older sister always knew she wanted to be a nurse. And she's a nurse, you know, she's, you know, and it was very easy for her. I was one of those people that never knew what she wanted to do, so I kind of went with the ebb and flow of life and, you know, created some successes around it. But being able to tie all that into that story can really help you and all our listeners get over that, because, hey, everybody likes to hear stories. They don't want to hear, oh, well, I did this and I did that, but if they could get the overall theme, then everyone buys into it.
Well, and I will tell you, that is such a trend right now, with more and more big, large brands are trying to make this cottage little mom-and-pop looking image. Because, you know, when you really think about some of these products, and you got to ask yourself, if you're out there and you've got a product, you got to ask yourself, what's the story behind the story? Case in point, I just discovered that Libby Lou was started by a mom. I really think that they need to market that more. I mean, Club Libby Lou, if you haven't been there, they're in the malls. I've been there numerous times with my kids. You know, I just thought it was like a corporate, you know, yucky yuck, you know, kind of big brand. And then I find out that it was started by a mom in Chicago and her daughter. Well, now my whole idea of Libby Lou has been totally different, just because I know it was a conversation while she was driving her daughter to a party and saying, wouldn't it be fun if, and that's the story. And I think that you have to sit back and ask yourself, what is my story? Because you know what? Many times it's the story behind the story that you're not even telling that's the most important part of the story, like you said.
That's true. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it?
It is, because we all can remember stories. We're great at stories. Look at all the successful advertising campaigns out there that you can remember. You got to ask yourself, what's the last ad you remember? If you're forgetting ads, it's because they weren't stories. So you got to ask yourself, what are successful things that you remember about ads? What are things that you remember about companies? What are the stories? And to me, it always leads to you're creating something that people want to pass along. So if it's a good story, we all love a good story. We all love a good tale. We all love, did you see this? Did you see that? Did you do this? You know, we all pass that along, and that's what you want to create.
That's right. Now, when you were talking about blog tours, I found that kind of interesting. So there's actually companies that you can hire to do blog tours for you.
Absolutely. And they can do Twitter campaigns. They can do social media, social networking, all of that kind of things to tap into some of the latest trends in technology on the internet. So yeah, absolutely. There's just Google blog tours and find out who's out there and definitely check them out, because there's all kinds of wonderful ways in which you can create some great publicity. We do it at Mom Central Consulting and at Mother Talk. So if you've got more information, you can call me too. I'd be happy to give you some quotes and ideas on what it would cost your company.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Well, is there any experiences that you've had to overcome, you know, in building your business that, you know, like mistakes that you've made that you could share with other moms to kind of help them avoid?
Absolutely.
I think the
biggest mistake I made was when I started the company. For some reason, I thought I needed my neighbor to help me along the way. I felt I needed somebody else to do it with me because it is kind of a daunting task. Let's see, we're going to write a book and we're going to change the face of education and we're going to get this national platform and you know we're going to be in schools nationwide. I mean. You know, I can't believe all this actually happened, but I started it with another family, and we just had different goals, and, you know, things would come up like they didn't believe in a website, and, you know, how do you argue with somebody about a website, especially in today's market? So it didn't work out. We kind of had a messy, you know, buyout to decide what the company was worth at a time when there really wasn't any money in the company to determine. So it was a really difficult time. I had to deal with lawyers that I'd never dealt with. I'd never had that situation happen before. And it was a really heartbreaking experience. But one thing that came out of it was I found my voice. And I realized that after telling my story over and over, there are so many people out there that are going through similar things. And I've actually come to this conclusion that if you go through something like a really bad business buyout or have to deal with attorneys, you're on the right path because many highly successful people will tell you if you haven't gone through one lawsuit, you know what, it's coming.
Right.
So you need to, and I've learned so much. I've learned how to deal with attorneys. I've learned that, you know what, I'll do all the writing, I'll do all the talking, this is what I want, and then I dictate to them what I want them to do for me. Because sometimes if you play that game, well, gosh, I'm not really sure what I want to do, they might not, they'll play that game right back with you for a very long time and nothing ever gets resolved. So it's almost like I found my voice and I was able to realize that, you know what, there's no one out there that knows this more than I do. I can't rely on anybody else. This is my passion. This is my dream. Every experience I've ever done in my life has prepared me for this. Gosh, you know what? It's time for me to step up to the plate and hit a home run grand slam right now. And one of the things that got me through all this was the very first present my husband ever gave me after we started the company. He gave me this clear crystal clock that had engraved Cedar Valley Publishing on it, and he engraved this message, and it says, "The dream is clear, to believe is the reward." And during those really dark days of whether or not Cedar Valley Publishing was going to exist, I kept looking at that clock, and I thought, gosh, my husband gave me this clock way before any of this ever happened. He believed in he knew it. The dream is clear. To believe is the reward. I have to believe. He believed in me. And, you know, it is truly a family company now. We bought our partner in 2006, and my kids are actively involved in the company. My husband's actively involved in the company. My kids are, you know, going into fourth grade and second grade, and I just happen to be writing, let's get ready for second grade. So who better to help me in the process than my own kids? And they're my biggest spokespeople. They tell other kids, they're so excited, Mommy, we got to hurry up and get our Spanish book out there because it's going to help kids like us learn Spanish. So, I mean, it's just an amazing process. And I have to tell you, these obstacles can really be opportunities. You really have to know that every successful company goes through those obstacles. And the more you can jump, the more you can get through, the better it's going to be in the long run. It's just going to make you a better company. You're going to kind of weed out the things that aren't important, and you're going to really focus on those things that are.
Well, you're going to believe, and trust me, you're not the first person I've talked to that's had partner problems, myself included. So my suggestion is that, you know, if you can avoid, and I felt the same way as you, like it's more fun to have somebody along for the ride with you, but the reality is everybody's walking different paths, have different priorities, and if you can do it yourself without taking on a partner, that's the way to go. If you want a joint venture with somebody, great, but you know, it's much better when you can make the decisions and move forward and not have to debate everything. But you know, that, I guess, is my partner experience. But yeah.
And I can so appreciate that because I was you hear here. I agree. But then I will say, working with Stacey DeBroff and Allison Rhodes and Dana and everybody at Mom Central, you know, it's just proof positive that it can work. You know, seven moms from seven different walks of life, you know, to form this amazing company that, you know, has done an amazing feat, you know, in the last year. And and has been able to generate a lot in sales, millions of dollars in sales. So it can be done. It's just finding those right people and really trusting your gut. And you know what? I did have red flags. I did. My husband had red flags. You know, there were things, and sometimes you just have to trust your gut and know that, you know, have a backup plan. I mean, now I tell people, if you're going to have a partnership, here's the new rule. The new rule is you're going to get an, you're each going to pick somebody to be your arbitrator that's not an attorney, just a friend. You don't have to pay, you know, and then before anything goes to an attorney, you have to kind of, and definitely hire an LLC or company attorney, and don't leave that company attorney. Don't get an outside attorney like they did, that I forced me to have to get an outside attorney, because really all you're doing is fighting, and it's just not worth it. So if you're smart, you know, get a little network and say, gosh, if I'm going to do this partnership with Joyce, okay, Joyce, you pick a friend, and Stacy over here, you pick a friend, and then they're going to talk, and then if we're having problems, we go to our network of friends, and then let them try to come up to a good, you know, resolution without it costing us a penny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's great. Well, you know, and it does make you stronger anytime you go through something like that, and with other people I've talked to, the end result is it was a difficult period in their life, but they realize that they are much stronger than they ever imagined, and you become more seasoned, just
Absolutely.
Like in any venture.
Absolutely, and you do find your voice. You really, it's almost like you rise above, and you know what? People ask me that all the time. You know, gosh, do you wish you could turn back the client and never have to go through that? No. I learned so much. I learned so much about myself I didn't even know I knew, and things that it just has made me such a better person, and there's no grudge. I absolutely wish them the best. I've moved on, and ever since we've let go, I've soared. I mean, I've absolutely soared. I mean, the company went, you know, nationwide, boom. And it's just one of those things that it's fun to be a part of something now with my husband and my kids. And my kids will tell you that, you know, they can't wait to keep this business going. And they're, you know, they know I'm a huge fan of the Goodnight Moon book and how that book is 62 years old. And it's still a number one bestseller. And that's my prayer for our series, is that it continue to help kids many, many years down the road, and that they will keep it alive because they understand the passion, and they're a part of it because, like I said, my daughter's going to second grade. She feels a vested interest in it. All the kids that helped, you know, edit the books that were first graders that found mistakes in it that all their teachers didn't even see, they feel a vested part of it. So they're all excited about the success of what we're doing as well.
That's exciting. All right, one last question for you, and then I'll let you go. With all of the different things that you have going on, what's your favorite time management tip that you can share with the moms?
Oh, Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, daily things, and something that you can do every day for the business, those little baby steps, things that you don't even think are going to pay off, those baby steps lead to giant leaps in progress. So just keep doing what you're doing. Every day do something. Every day make a goal to do one thing for your company or one new person to network with or one something, and those ones add up to a lot.
Well, that's a great piece of advice. You know, we all want to run to the end, but the fact is just little daily increments really add up over time.
Absolutely.
They really do.
They do.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Stacy. Why don't you give everybody your domain names and locations so that they can check you out?
Sure. It's Cedar Valley Publishing, www.cedarvalleypublishing.com, momcentral.com, momcentralconsulting.com, and mothertalk.com.
Okay, well, there are a lot of places to go. You're a busy woman, that's for sure. So I just want to thank everybody for listening today. And if you want to find out more, you can go to MillionaireMomsNetwork.com or MillionaireMoms.com. Okay, talk to y'all soon. Thanks, Stacy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.